Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we share expert advice so you can have a phenomenal sex life. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com to check out our complete podcast archive. And while you are there, sign up for our free mini course at pleasuremechanics.com/free, and we will start delivering our best sex advice and actionable strategies to your inbox so you can start optimizing your sex life today. When you are ready to up-level your sexual skills, check out our premium online courses so you can master skills like couples massage, foreplay, erotic spanking, kinky sex, and more. Check them all out at pleasuremechanics.com and use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX to save 20% off the online course of your choice. Today's episode, we are going to be talking about how to rev up your sex life by having an affair.
With your spouse.
So we've been thinking about this topic for a while, and then as we were driving home last night, I got sick of the kids' music that we often listen to with our toddler daughter. And so I put on the radio, and this song came on. If you like pina coladas, get caught in the rain. If you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain. If you like making love at midnight, in the dunes of the cave. And we were like singing along to this song, and it's one of those songs like you know the lyrics even though you don't really know why you know the lyrics. And then we started talking about pina coladas and how we should make pina coladas.
We were Googling, we're like, what the hell's in a pina colada? Anyway.
And we started looking at the lyrics of this song, and I was explaining to Charlotte that it's a song about writing a personals ad to have an affair. And later in the song, the lovers meet up, like they reply to each other, and this is like the newspaper personal ads back in the day, and they meet up at a bar, and sure enough, the person he was writing to in the personals ad was his own old lady, I think he calls.
I think he just calls it my lady.
My own lovely lady. So they meet at the bar, and the lyrics go like this. So I waited with high hopes, then she walked in the place. I knew her smile in an instant. I knew the curves of her face. It was my own lovely lady, and she said, oh, it's you. And we laughed for a moment, and I said, I never knew. And then it goes into the chorus. I never knew that you liked pina coladas and getting caught in the rain and the feel of the ocean and the taste of champagne. So this song reminded us of this idea that you can get excited about an affair and all of the things an affair offers you, the thrills, the escape, as the song is called, the getting away with something, the transgression of it, and of course the new relationship energy and sex with a new person. But what would it mean? But of course then that has its consequences, right? Like a lot of affairs lead to broken hearts and broken families and messy divorces and betrayal. So the benefit risk analysis for most people doesn't really weigh out. Yes, an affair should be fun, but you're hurting the person you love the most and maybe it's not the best idea. So how do you take all of the best parts of an affair and channel it into having an affair with your spouse? What would that look like?
Well, part of what I really like about this song, aside from that it's catchy in this, like, cheesy way that I kind of love, is that they're saying, oh, I didn't know that you liked all these things. And I think there's this way when we crave novelty, when we crave an affair, perhaps, or just something new and interesting and sexy and exciting, is that it is this opportunity to channel new parts of ourselves, or parts of ourselves that we don't get to experience that often, or that we're missing, or that we've sort of forgotten about. And I think that's the sort of beauty that this song reminded me of, is, right, like, if you were gonna have an affair, what would you want to do? What would you actually crave? What is the experience you sort of want to be having? And I sort of think framing it in this way can unlock the erotic imagination in a way. Because sometimes we get sort of stuck in our relationship of like, this is what we do, this is what we're good at, this is what we like, this is who we are together. You know, it's this sort of scripted without meaning to be, this world that you create in your relationship. And it's kind of a fun, erotic exercise, I think, to start just envisioning what you might like in an affair, who you would be, what you would want to be doing, and just have it be an erotic fantasy that you let yourself go on and see what happens. I think it just liberates the mind a little bit to shake it up a little bit and see what else is there.
Right. So there's two parts to this. There's the thought exercise of it, the fantasy of it. If I was going to have an affair with a made-up person, what would that possibly look like? How do I want to feel? What kind of experiences would I seek out? What kind of person would I seek out? And just allow yourself in the safety of fantasy, because remember that fantasy is not desire. And within the realm of fantasy, anything is possible, including affairs. And if you don't act on it, then you can kind of chalk it up to this is just a fantasy, an exploration, no harm done.
Just to clarify, for those who haven't listened to lots of our podcasts, we make this distinction between fantasy and desire often, that you can have a fantasy and it doesn't mean you want to act it out.
Right. You can go to an action movie and enjoy watching buildings blowing up without ever actually wanting to be in a burning building. And that catharsis, that release, the realm of the imagination is what fantasy is all about. And us humans love fantasy. And we get a lot of benefit out of allowing ourselves to safely play there.
And we need to let ourselves do that in the erotic, because we do that in action movies all the time. And we judge ourselves when we get to starting to get into wild, crazy erotic fantasies.
If you want to hear more, go to pleasuremechanics.com, look at the sex index, click on the word fantasy, and you will find extensive podcast episodes about that idea. So there's the playing in the fantasy, and that might unlock things for you that you realize you're missing, things you're craving, and that's all good information about what you can channel into your desires, what you can actually make happen in your real life to feel more fulfilled. And then there's the acting out of an affair with your spouse. And if you can get your spouse on board with this, then you can have a lot of fun role-playing an affair. And I think this is especially potent for parents, for people who are taking care of elderly parents. If you have other responsibilities that you feel like you're still into your partner, you're still sexually excited about them, but you just don't seem to have the time and the space and the access to an erotic zone like you used to, then creating the story of an affair might be a way of escaping your everyday life together and having a tryst with your partner. So some of the things this might look like, think about the context of most affairs. It's a relationship you have outside of the home. So coworkers are big for affairs, people you know from church, people you know from social groups, someone you run into at the coffee shop every morning. Affairs often take time to build. And sometimes then there's like a secret email address, because so often there's a digital trail of communications now. And so a lot of people who have affairs start a new email address that their partner doesn't know about. And so logging into that email address is thrilling. And you wonder if there's messages there waiting for you. And then you have to arrange secret meetups. Like, where are you going to meet up that you're not going to get caught? Are you going to have to drive out of town because you live in a town where people recognize you and someone will know what's up if you're walking hand in hand with a different person? Right? So there's a lot of planning and deliberate erotic energy channeled into having an affair. How do you do that with your partner? What if you started communicating with your partner outside of the context of your domestic life, like either through the regular email address they have, or start a separate email account where you have permission to be sexier and raunchier. Start that private email account and then start emailing each other like compliments. And how would you flirt with someone you are trying to initiate an affair with? Step into this role and know that it's safe because you're doing it with your spouse, the person you're committed to, but go fully into this role and see what happens. What would you do? What would you say? How would you behave if you were trying to seduce this person for the first time?
And also, who do you want to be? Like, it, there is also space there for you to be somebody that's a little bit different than your regular domestic, wonderful, kind, loving self. There is space to be another part of you, a different facet, whether that, if that excites you and interests you.
So if you're wanting to be like a more dominant lover in bed, and doing that as the loyal husband feels hard, as the person your wife is interested in having an affair with, you might be a little bit more aggressive and use language you would never call your loving wife. But the woman you're having an affair with might become your dirty little sex toy, right? And of course, these have to be negotiated and agreed upon, but you feel each other out in that way. What are the roles you're stepping into?
I think all of us have a bad girl or a bad boy, whatever you want to call it, the rogue in us. I think really people do have that facet of ourselves, and it's sometimes it's challenging to bring out in a long-term loving relationship. It's often the hardest place to access
where you're trying to be your most ethical, kindest, most loving self 24/7.
Yeah, and I think there's something interesting about trying to create a separate space to really let the wilder side out.
You might even take on new names. So this is a form of erotic role-playing, right? Which a lot of people think role-playing is part of kinky sex, that kind of galaxy. And role-playing can be, you know, cops and robbers, bad girl and boss, naughty nurse and patient. Like, we have these kind of roles that you can wear with costumes. But a role can also be part of yourself you want to give space to. So if you know that part of your sexual being is kind of this voracious, slutty, I love dressing up in revealing lingerie and being kind of tossed around and used. You know, if that kind of woman lives inside you, but as a mother and wife, it doesn't come out much, give her a name and give yourself permission every once in a while to embody that person. And having an affair with your spouse, creating this extramarital relationship with your spouse is a way to do this. And so if you are Bob and Sally, husband and wife, maybe you become John and Veronica, you know, the mechanic and the woman who's taking her car to the mechanic, and they meet and they have this spark, and just create a little backstory if you want, if you're into that storytelling, or just give yourself separate names and start flirting with each other via email. Start randomly meeting up, very planned in advance, by the way. Start randomly meeting up in public places, like have dates where you run into each other and then can meet one another, not as husband and wife, but as two beings in this other persona, and see what happens. And the emails are a really great way. Like, start sending each other sexy photos, send each other photos from the internet. Some people like starting private blogs or Tumblrs where they post erotic pictures to flirt with each other. Leave each other voicemails, like, I can't wait to see you again, last time was so amazing. And of course, you're seeing them again over dinner that night, but getting those kinds of communication can be really thrilling. And then, of course, when you do meet, every once a month, maybe, whatever you can afford, get childcare for your kids, rent a hotel room, and have an affair outside of the house. It's really important to take this outside of your domestic life together and meet up, have that thrilling night at the hotel room, and then you come back into your marital life nourished by that. This is just an idea. This isn't going to work for everyone. We should try this.
Yeah, this isn't... role-playing is not our natural home, which is why I think it would be valuable. And I think, of course, a lot of people have a concern or question of, like, how do you get into that? Like, how do you... I know people where one partner really wants to try this kind of thing and the other partner is like, I don't know how to get into that.
Like, I feel silly. I feel like a fool.
Yeah, how do you keep the story going?
We did an episode recently on playful sex and how we need to play like kids more in our erotic lives. And the reason a lot of people clam up around role-playing is feeling like they're not doing it right, they're not a good actor, They don't know what to say. They don't know how to behave. And that's why this kind of role playing, you're not trying to be, you know, the professor and the student that has certain lines they're supposed to say. You're just being a naughtier version of yourself, perhaps, and giving yourself space for that transgression. Because we need to think about why people have affairs in the first place. And often it is an escape. And that's another reason I like the Piña Colada song. It's called Escape. And it's something about, you know, we have our mundane lives and we ache for something more. And just like we want to go on vacation, we want an erotic escape from our everyday reality. And we need to be able to do this with our partner if we don't want to cheat or be non-monogamous.
Yeah, and I haven't fully understood roles as an important part of my erotic life in my history. But, you know, as a mother now, I see the value of it more intensely. Like, I can see that carving out that extra time and really intentionally giving myself permission to dress up, to access those parts of myself that don't get a lot of extra time, is really valuable and could be really powerful just to really carve out that space.
Right, like if you and I just got a hotel room without our daughter for a weekend and just went and we're just like talking about work and about our life and our bills and what we, you know, we would have a nice time.
Yeah, it'd be lovely, but it's
but
a different
thing. If we got a hotel room and I arrived there first, you packed a bag, I wasn't aware of that, and we happened to rendezvous in the hotel lobby. And part of the role-playing is we don't have a marital life together anymore. Mm, mm-hmm. All of that conversation's off the table because it doesn't exist in this parallel universe. Mm. And so it gives us the opportunity to connect and to be erotic together in this different universe. And I think it's really valuable, as you say, especially as our lives get heavier with more responsibilities. You know, of course, when we were 26 and you were a sex worker and dressing up in lingerie every day and we were, like, having sex like bunnies all the time, maybe that wasn't as
desirable. I didn't need it. I mean, I was... Yeah, exactly.
And this is a perfect example of how erotic needs change over time, and with the shifting galaxy of our lives and our lives' responsibilities, our needs change. And if you're in a long-term relationship, you need to be able to move with that. And so this is just one game, one way to play with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing I loved about this song is the song starts, "I was tired of my lady, we'd been together too long, like a worn-out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed, and in the personal column, there was a letter I read." If you like Pina Colada singing Caught in the Rain. So it initiates by him reading the personal ad his wife took out. Right? And then he responds to that personal ad, and then they have this tryst in the bar. And I think what's so interesting there is he's there feeling alone and isolated and bored of his relationship. And because he doesn't have this channel of communication open, he doesn't realize his wife has already taken a step ahead of him and placed a personal ad. And I think this comes up a lot where couples feel alone and isolated in their experience and don't realize the other person is right there with them. And if only, instead of taking all these newspaper ads out, they could have turned to each other and been like, "Yo, we're bored, we're in a rut, I'm feeling like, you know, we need an escape together." This would have been a different song. But as you said, they didn't realize that they were each craving something similar, and only through this personal ad found that. And so, as you said, how do you start this? How do you initiate this? One of the skills is to get vulnerable enough to bring up the elephant in the room, bring up those topics that you think you're alone in experiencing, but chances are you're both there. And so if your relationship has gotten into a rut, if sex is feeling boring, chances are sex is boring for both of you. You
Absolutely.
Know, your partner is not thrilled and over the moon if you're there kind of playing out the same tired script. And so we need to get vulnerable enough to have these conversations and realize that you're in it together, you're a team in figuring this out, and the escape hatch is for both of you.
I love that. And I'm also really committed to this idea that we never fully know our partner, as we never fully know ourselves. And the invitation and the excitement is in continuing to to reveal who we are and to discover who our partner is. But we only do that by creating new opportunities and expanding our comfort and moving slightly beyond that and seeing what's there. And it is a vulnerable place. And you may not even know what's within you. And finding and creating opportunities to just begin to taste that and explore that is where it gets really interesting and fresh and new and has a vitality. And creating opportunities like this where you have to imagine what you would like to do, who you'd like to become, what would feel sexy to you to embody for yourself, and what you're craving, and exploring that in fantasy and then possibly in reality, I think really pushes those boundaries a bit. And yes, it's a lot of effort. We totally get that. And it is a lot of erotic intention and attention and focus. But that's how we keep things fresh. That's what we need. And people all of a sudden have so much erotic energy when they're having an affair, when they feel tired in their regular life, but have all this interest in it and energy to put towards their eroticism all of a sudden. And if we reverse that and say, okay, well, I'm going to use the attention and energy and put it towards my marriage and then see if their erotic vitality gets birthed. I think it's working it the other way around, but I think it can have real benefits. And I love how they talk about that in the song of like, oh, I didn't know that you liked these pieces. I didn't know that you liked these things. I really love this idea that we never fully know our partner and it's always up to us to keep exploring and discovering together. That makes it feel so exciting.
The other nod to excitement in this song is, I love the phrase getting caught in the rain. That's just this idea of allowing yourself to be spontaneous and playful in the world, right? If you're walking down the street and it starts raining, instead of being like, oh, fuck, I'm getting wet and like being annoying about it and ducking under the balcony or whatever, allowing yourself to get caught in the rain together, stopping and kissing in the rain. You know, when we watch romantic movies, there's often these moments that, you know, the lovers get caught in the rain and have this beautiful makeout in front of the fountain at Central Park while it's raining, or, you know, the flowers are in full bloom in the trees and the petals are raining down. And these moments actually exist around us if we seek them out, if we move towards them, if we allow them to happen. And often in early dating, we allow a little bit more of this spontaneity and of the kind of magic of the world to feel like it's being orchestrated just to support our romance. Do you know what I mean? And then when we get into the hustle and the scripts of our everyday life, we don't seek those moments out. And so how can you seek more of those moments out where you feel like the world is your backdrop for your particular romantic moment together? Right? So whether that's, you know, there's someone playing music on the street and instead of just walking by, you stop and you sway a little bit together and you dance together and the musician is happy and you throw a buck in his case and you've had that little moment together. Or if you see a particularly beautiful tree, like move towards it and lie under it and watch the petals rain down upon you and say something beautiful to your partner.
We can allow ourselves to create life as an epic love story.
Yeah, these backdrops exist. Like, the world is so beautiful and there's so much sensuality and kind of random moments of interesting things that happen, but we're often a little bit too busy and not focused on it and we rush through it. Whereas in that new relationship energy or that affair energy, you would kind of stop and seize the moment and feel like it was like done just for you. So you have a moment to have that great kiss.
So you're really being open to the sensuality of the world and interacting with it and engaging with it. And so often it is about nature and...
For us. For other people it might be about art or music or movies or...
Fair point. But allowing the sensuality of life to touch you and to penetrate you and to move you and to interact with it. So it's creating your relationship in these erotic moments and amplifying them. It's creating a work of art with your eroticism. And
yeah, get caught in the rain together. And let that be fun and a source of laughter. And that when we talk about eroticism as vitality and that which fills you up with that feeling of being alive, how do we seize those moments more and not just kind of get through each day? Mm. I think that's such a big part of having an affair. The other big part of having an affair that some people are really turned on by and some people aren't is transgression.
Mm.
The idea of breaking the rules and commitment, monogamy, your dedication to one another is the biggest rule you can possibly break with your sex life. Mm. And so it can become really thrilling to get away with that. And if that is part of your erotic persona and you know that you like to break rules, then you have to find rules to break together. So you don't break your marriage vows, you don't break your commitment to one another, but what rules can you break together? And so you might want to dabble in sex outdoors. And we do have a whole podcast on how to do that safely and not get caught.
And arrested. Very important.
Right. Or going to dinner without your underwear on and you're kind of breaking a rule there. Or wearing a strap-on vibrator that your partner controls with their iPhone and you're getting turned on in public. And you need to find safe and legal ways of breaking the rules, of transgressing together, so you kind of have a vent for that energy and your whole excitement doesn't come from breaking your lover's heart.
Oh, yeah, this is a really important one to know about yourself and to catch early and to work with and to become a team in. That's a great point.
And in the final verse of this song, I love that they rehashed the love letter that appeared in the personal ads. I never knew you liked pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, the feel of the ocean, the taste of champagne. If you like making love at midnight in the dunes of the Cape, you're the love I've looked for. Come with me and escape. And I think this is so true, is that if you're in a good relationship, if you're sexually compatible, if you've enjoyed a life together, then chances are your partner is the love that you've been looking for. And you have all of the components required to reignite your erotic life together. And it's actually much easier to do that within a long-term relationship than to go back on the dating scene and find someone new. And I think so many people have this fantasy of like, oh, if I was single, then I'd be having great sex and I could be with all these attractive people. And the truth is, like, being in a relationship with someone you love is a really big gift in this world. Like, knowing someone that well, having a history together, I find it to be a great privilege to be in a relationship. And so for me, it's easier to reinvest my erotic energy, my creativity, my time into the person that's already proven themselves to love me, to get me, to tolerate my weird bullshit. You know, it's like, if you have a good relationship, hold on to that with ferocity. And having an affair with your spouse is one way of doing that, of saying, we're going to double up here. We're going to invest some time and energy into this and going to make something new and special and exciting happen. And that can be a full role play of a secret email address and meeting in hotels. And you can keep that going for months at a time. Or it can be as simple as getting caught in the rain together. Seizing those little moments in life where you let go of your daily responsibilities and you remember that you're erotic partners and you take that opportunity to get wet together. All right. And maybe make a pina colada once in a while. We were looking up recipes and we're like, these sound freaking delicious. Like, what is stopping you from making pina coladas on a Friday night and kicking it on the back porch and having a mini holiday? All right. All of this brought to you by a random radio play of this song.
That you know way too well and have probably never listened to the words.
Escape, parentheses, the pina colada song. By Rupert Holmes. Who the hell is Rupert Holmes? I thank you for this song. And let us know how your affairs go. Be in touch over at pleasuremechanics.com/hello. You can send us an email or leave us a voicemail message. We'd love to hear from you and hear what your strategies are for having affairs, having spicy sex in your long-term relationships. And we will see you again next week with a new episode of Speaking of Sex. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
And pina coladas. And getting caught in the rain. If you're not. if you